Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
And on the board is Jared Wackerly.
What's that?
Yeah, we're back. Talking that's
whack-tastic.
Wait, what's the line? What's his line?
Was that?
No, no. Oh. The lyric line.
She all mine.
She all mine. Oh.
Mine.
Listen, I had a lot more songs than just that one. If you guys want to hear it.
That was the chart topic.
I will say, Jared, we used to ride back, you know, here and back every week together. I've heard basically his entire discography.
I mean, we kind of went through some of what we could find as well, and that was just the best we could find.
I used to rap. Back in the day.
I mean, I would say you would rhyme words together.
Listen, bud. Why do you think I know how to edit these shows?
Yeah. I like the video.
It's all come full
dozens
circle.
Of people liked his music, okay? Dozens.
Listen.
Dozens.
Listen, we all learned were young
the skills
ones.
Of editing.
And they were all his.
And now we're here.
To be fair, I love it. Honestly, I really do like the song.
I know, man.
It was a different time in my life. Football was over and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, oh, I got
said
it.
That. I'll edit that out.
Yeah, you got it. Put a beep on that one. This is not the Nerd Herd show. So we are back this week. We are talking early February, a new month. So we thought it's a good time to talk about. People are asking, what is draft? Like, people are making trades for draft pick value. So we're going to kind of go through, you know, all these early picks, some second round picks here, and kind of talk to players that we kind of view as fair value in that range. And I will say this for the audience as well. Definitely if you're newer to Dynasty, know this as well in February. These draft picks will only become more valuable. They will not lower in value in the least bit. Mm-hmm. Once the NFL Combine hits,
FIVA.
They're gonna go up in value.
They've already started with the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl increased some value there. And then once the NFL draft hits, even more value.
And the day of your draft, they're usually the most expensive.
The best time to trade your draft pick for the most value is during your rookie draft. You know, you're like, hey, this is a good placement, but let's see where we're at. I want to see who's available come the draft. And people start to get real desperate when the clock is ticking, when you have a limit to make that trade. So just keep that in mind. So this is where we are in February 2024 with a rough idea of where these players are going to go due to mock drafts and, you know, early study. So let's go from there. So let's go ahead and kick it off. Hey, Dynasty nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is the perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Yeah. I did something similar with my guy Theo from the Dynasty Life. I think it's OG, the Dynasty OG or Fantasy OG on Twitter. Great guy. And we did something very similar and love the concept, something that we've talked about doing here. And I kind of want to talk about, you know, we'll go from pick 1-1 and we're going to do this more from a super flex perspective, but just know, you can do some mental math if you're in a 1QB league. Just alter it by three quarterbacks within the first, you know, 7 or 8. Yeah. Just alter it and you'll know roughly where the next guy's going.
You go from having like the 1-7s, that golden bubble, to a top four. Like the 1-4 is the golden bubble there. But again, now we'll expand after the NFL draft. There are going to be receivers like, you know, possibly like Brian Thomas that goes in the first round.
Sure.
People are going to blow up the combine. They're going to get drafted way higher than we thought. And it's going to cruise. There's going to be a running back that possibly goes in the second round that's going to jump into this conversation as well. I would almost guarantee that even though we said this is going to be the first draft, there's going to be no running back taken. Somebody's going to get drafted probably in the second round of the NFL draft or pretty high on a team that needs a running back, and they're going to sneak in here to right around 1-7, 1-8, 1-9, that range for sure. So let's go ahead and dive into it. And I also am looking at this from a Superflex tight end premium perspective.
Perfect. I am going to look at it from a standard.
There you go.
One QB league.
Yeah. Jared's going to look at it from a touchdown only league perspective.
All right.
All right. So let's start with the 1-1. So you have the 1-1. What players would you be willing to take? If someone said, I will give you player A, who would you be willing to take to give away the 1-1, which we're presuming is Caleb Williams at this point? I think we can pretty safely say Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, easy peasy, done and done. Yep. We'd rather have both of those guys, right? No arguments?
100%.
Okay.
For sure.
After that, let's look at specifically the quarterback position. Are there any non-quarterbacks? Let's start with that. Are there any non-quarterbacks that you would take for the 1-1? Would you take like Justin Jefferson straight up for the 1-1?
I think there's four receivers for me that are in the conversation.
Okay.
And that's Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
And is Justin, and that's just, let's start with Justin Jefferson, who's in a tier of his own. So this is a good way to break it down. Justin Jefferson is in a tier of his own in wide receiver one. I would still take Caleb Williams.
Ooh, okay.
Me personally.
Listen, I mean, I think there's a scenario that could be built out that I would definitely say, yes, I'll take Justin Jefferson for that first.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And it does go case by case basis at times, but look at it roughly from like a startup perspective. If you're starting from scratch.
Okay.
You know, and if you want some qualifiers on like contender, I would, or, you know, if I'm weak here, like that's fine, because trading, that's when we're looking to add pieces. But I think to try to keep it somewhat universal from a startup perspective.
Yeah. And that's still a little rough too then, because I'm like, oh, I can get like Jordan Love in the second round, so I just take Justin Jefferson here. You know, Jordan Love and Caleb Williams. But I mean, it's still hard for me to say, like, because when you have say the 1-1's your pick, right? Mm-hmm. It's your pick. Like, you earn it. Your team sucks. Like, your team sucks. Mm-hmm. So you need that foundation piece, which is the quarterback in Superflex.
If
it's PPR, it's Marvin Harrison
Jr. If that's the case, but in a startup, you might have just, like in our mock draft, you might have drafted the 1-1.
Yeah.
Would you rather have him or Justin Jefferson?
So I was looking at it from a completely different standpoint. And that's where my hesitation is and why it's taking me so long. Because if I was in a startup and I drafted the 1-1, I probably likely would have done it after I would have. I think I would take Justin Jefferson.
I think I would take Jefferson, but I think he's the only non-quarterback that I would take over the 1-1 at this point.
That's it. And I'm struggling with that a little bit.
It is tough.
But I think I would. I think if I was drafting in a startup and I had the option to pick Justin Jefferson or the 1-1, I would probably take Jefferson. And I would...
It's close.
I would take Caleb Williams.
Would you?
I think I would say.
God,
I think that's one hard. Like, so through my rankings, here's what I would think would be fair. Okay, not saying I would do it. I would. So outside of those quarterbacks, of Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, I think in my own personal view of this, that I looked at for the show, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Lamar Jackson, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, and Jordan Love are the only guys that I would, and obviously
even entertain
Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes out the window, that I even entertain. So basically 10 guys from Justin Herbert on are the only guys I would entertain that for. And honestly, the only ones I 100% wouldn't do that for is Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and CJ Stroud. I would just keep those guys.
So basically over Caleb Williams.
The top six quarterbacks. I would just keep them because they're for sure in my eyes over Caleb Williams, who has the upside of being Pat Mahomes. But it's still upside. I haven't seen that on the field for sure.
And that's why I would take Justin Jefferson, obviously, over him, is because it's
There's still that chance.
It's still a projection. There's still a chance that the bottom could drop out of that pick. Whereas in Justin Jefferson, I mean, there is basically no chance.
For what it's worth, the last, now we're not necessarily saying that these guys had the same level of hype. I mean, one of them did. The last two number one overall quarterbacks were Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence. And Lawrence, I mean, both of these guys would be behind Caleb. Like, neither one of them had the start to their careers that you're like, oh my gosh, yes. Even though Lawrence had that hype, you know. And yeah, so
Caleb's coming with the hype.
And Caleb is coming with the hype. So we'll see.
Here, what about this guy? This is a good guy to ask, because I actually have this guy ranked ahead of Justin Jefferson by one spot in my Superflex rankings.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar is right there for me. I think it's... So I have my first seven guys in my rankings are the six quarterbacks we just talked about. Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, Stroud. At seven, I have Justin Jefferson. At eight, I have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I have the same scenario.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's where he fits in for me. I think even though we've seen it from Lamar Jackson and we haven't from Caleb Williams, Lamar's old enough and injury, he's had enough injuries. He's had, like, there's enough, like,
not this year.
Meh. Not this year. But he also didn't have the spectacular fantasy season that he's had in the past either. So he was healthy.
Quarterback four overall.
Four. Good quarterback. Great player. I think that's the point that I would be willing to gamble. You know, because that's what it is at this point. It's a gamble. What level are you willing to gamble?
I think Lamar is always going to be like a little sticky situation, right? Because he's a very talented quarterback. I think we all see that he's still somewhat limited in the passing game, just in the fact that he is consistently inconsistent. So if you have a chance to get a guy like Caleb Williams who can, within the next 3 years, leapfrog him, he'll be 30. Lamar Jackson will be 30 in 3 years. And how old?
Caleb Williams would be 24.
I was going to say, yes.
I would 24. Take Caleb Williams over Lamar Jackson.
Okay. So that's what you're looking at. So me also. So I'm in the same exact scenario. Justin Jefferson's at seven. Lamar Jackson's at eight. If we were to put in Caleb Williams here somewhere, he'd be at eight and Lamar would be at nine.
Yeah, and I just moved. The fact that I would consider Justin Jefferson, I would for sure take Caleb over Lamar. I just bumped Justin Jefferson at my ranks one spot. And
it is funny how talking these things out, you do kind of realize where your values are.
And positional players that outscore Lamar. Lamar was the seventh overall scoring player in PPR leagues this year. Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey, and CeeDee Lamb outscored him. CeeDee Lamb was actually the number two overall scorer in all fantasy football behind Josh Allen, which is crazy. Because usually it's quarterback, 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 quarterback. This year it's Josh Allen.
One receiver in the top 10. CeeDee Lamb,
Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, then Jalen Hurts, then Dak, then Lamar, then Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Puka Nacua. Then Pat Mahomes, which is even crazy.
That is crazy. All right, so that doesn't surprise me too much. That's kind of the range I expected everybody to have him. Jared, anything to add to that? No? Yes?
No.
Okay. 1-2 is where it gets interesting because that 1-2 could be Drake May.
Yep.
That 1-2 could be Marvin Harrison Jr. It's so part of it is what player you think you'll have there, but also how much further behind is Drake May from, and we touched on that a little bit, Drake May from Caleb Williams, and how far off is Marvin Harrison from those elite wide receivers?
That pick is more valuable than both those players.
Correct, because you still have the option today to take whichever one could be better.
And for me, the way I would look at it is, if I had to do like startup rankings, is I would probably have Marvin Harrison Jr. slide in after the NFL draft. If he goes to Arizona, probably right around my 13th overall player, which would be right behind Jordan Love. And I'd probably have Drake May probably slide in right after Tua around there, maybe even a little lower, probably in that like 18, 19, 20 range, like right around there. So to me, I'm looking at it as Marvin Harrison Jr. So like I would take, you know, the only players I would take for him would be like Jordan Love, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb. Like if you offered me Anthony Richardson for Marvin Harrison Jr., I would just say no. If you offer me Brock Purdy, Tua, Trevor, I would say no. Because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is my best chance to enter that tier of those top four receivers. Mm-hmm. So I want that guy who's going to be 21 years old on my roster. That's a dynasty cornerstone. And even in Superflex, like kind of how we talked about Bijan last year. So for me, that's where I would have it. And I would actually view this pick, again, not watching the tape after the NFL draft, but Marvin Harrison Jr. would slide in right behind Jordan Love at pick 13 for me.
I do think this is a bit of a, it's an odd scenario where I might have Marvin Harrison ranked as the second best player in the draft as far as where I have him in my rankings. But I likely, if I was in a draft, I don't know that I would 100% take him at two. Does that make sense?
You might take Drake May over him.
Yeah, May might go ahead of him if I was to draft, which is odd. But
I think it would depend on your team.
It would depend on your team. So, I guess, answer your question, where would I have the second pick in the draft ranked? It would be right around 15 for me, because that's right around where Anthony Richardson's at. And I think it holds more value to me than Richardson. Just because of the injury issues he's had and all that kind of stuff, you get a fresh start with whomever you end up picking, whether that's the phenomenal talent, phenomenally talented wide receiver, or if it's Drake May, you're just kind of hitting the reset button and getting a guy that hasn't been injured.
So this will be interesting too, because my guess is the difference that you'll have between pick two and pick three is not going to be very drastic.
It's not going to be very drastic.
You're going to have them pretty darn close together. Yep. And this is even, as I've had more time to think about this, even from when I did the show with Theo talking about this, I had quarterback-wise, not looking at necessarily overall ranks, but I had quarterback-wise, I had Caleb Williams and Drake May back-to-back. Now that I'm looking at it, I would probably have Lamar in between those two guys, but I still think I would have Drake May at this point ahead of everyone else.
Even Jordan Love?
Even Jordan Love, even Tua, even... And yes, maybe it's a little bit of a reach, but one, he's the number two pick in the draft. I'm assuming he's the number two pick in the draft.
Sure.
We were talking last year, and this was the class with Stroud and Richardson and guys that we have ranked very highly, as everyone agrees, like unanimously across the board, the two best quarterbacks are still in college. Yeah. So as prospects, we're already having them ahead of guys that we have. CJ Stroud's at six. Anthony Richardson we have in our top 12 quarterbacks. Like
CJ Stroud didn't start at six, though.
Correct. He didn't start at six.
He ended at six.
But if we're saying he's a better prospect.
Better prospects don't
always. It doesn't always translate. It doesn't always.
I read an article, probably a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, and it was like, your best bet in these situations are always taking the quarterback 1-1. And the hit rate on them being serviceable was like, and I'm sorry I can't credit who wrote this because I don't recall because I've read it a while ago. I think it was probably a month ago. Was like so significantly higher. Like the only busts were like Jamarcus Russell and I'm trying to think somebody else. But that was like the odds of them, like the odds of the quarterback that goes 1-1 overall in the NFL draft being viable for your fantasy team was like drastically higher, and anything from two on from in that top 10, it was like 50-50.
So we should buy best. Bryce Young.
Yeah, which I 100% article was like, oh, Bryce Young's a good buy. And then I saw a new thing. Again, I feel bad, I can't credit him. They came out that I was talking to you about before the show. Like, oh, I invented a new stat today, and it's called QBS about like their situation overall. And like outside of Tommy DeVito, Bryce Young had the second worst situation he was in, and that's what brought me back to that article about the number one overall pick being such a good, like serviceable, at least option. Like the odds of them being serviceable are pretty high. And an article said like, the jury's still out on Trevor Lawrence, obviously Bryce Young, but it makes me think like, even though Drake May's two overall, that still doesn't, it lowers the value.
Sure.
Historically it lowers it pretty well.
We're planning to do a rookie draft hit rate podcast.
Talking Dynasty.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That'd
be fun.
Prior to the draft.
Yeah. So for me right now, I would have it probably, I have Amon-Ra at 11 and I have Tua at 12. I am probably slotting both pick two and pick three right there.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM. You use the analyzer. You can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate
set. Okay. So, I mean, so we're pretty close. Yeah, I'd slot those in right at pick like 13 and 14.
Okay.
So same kind of like same range right there. So we're really close on that.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah.
About the same spot.
Yeah. So I said 15 for the second one. The third pick would probably be within 3 picks of there. So okay, it's not very far.
All right. So let's get to at least what I perceive at the moment as a little bit of a tier break. Now, some would argue, you know, they're really high on Neighbors or they're really high on Daniels.
Or Bowers.
Or Bowers, potentially.
Or Dunze. Like, I feel like a Dunze.
There's a lot of good players. But to me, there's three guys, and then there's a tier for me, personally. I don't know about you guys at the moment.
I feel like when it's all said and done, like, I'm going to be really in love with Brock Bowers. Sure. In a tight end premium league. I have no idea what to feel about Jane Daniels about this. And, like, everything I read about Neighbors, which, again, I haven't dove into. I know I love Odunze, for sure. I've watched enough of his games just live that I like that player. I think he's... I saw a good comp of somebody comped him like Larry Fitzgerald, and I was like, oh, that's not a terrible comp. But so I don't know enough
top about... Top 5 all-time receiver, that's a pretty good,
but like
favorable comp.
Yeah. Like, I do a lot of reading this time of the year about, like scouts that I trust, and a lot of them say, like, Neighbors is closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. than most people realize. And I saw some people come on the Senior Bowl that, like, they were talking, like, hey, I was talking to some scouts, and some scouts said, yeah, Neighbors is, like, right there with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, he's just as good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know yet because I haven't watched the tape, but that's what I hear. So
more,
like,
of a freak of an athlete.
Yeah, with the ball. He's more electric.
Yeah, more explosive. Yeah.
So for me, like, at 1-4 in that range, like, if I view him there, then I'm looking at that pick. Like, so I'm holding Bowers, Odunze, and Neighbors. And obviously, if Jaden Daniels goes top 5, he's going to be there too. Like, so I'm holding those picks basically 4 through 7, right around that 18 to like 40 range. Like, that's the kind of range I have those players in. So I'm talking about guys that go from like Bijan Robinson, AJ Brown, Sam Laporta, Garrett Wilson, Dak Prescott, TJ Hockenson, Breece Hall, Justin Fields. I'm going to name them all, but like, in that range, like, it basically ends at where I looked at, where I want to stop, was like Kyren Williams, essentially. Like Deshaun Watson, Kyren Williams. So probably before Kyren Williams, because he's a running back, so I'd probably take Neighbors, Odunze, Bowers, and Daniels ahead of Kyren Williams. So to me, the bottom of that tier that I consider those kind of players, like, this is more like 1-7, by the way. The bottom, so 1-7 be the bottom. I'm thinking Deshaun Watson, DJ Moore, Chris Olave, Michael Pittman Jr., Dalton Kincaid, Devontae Smith, like that range. So like, so whoever falls, whether it be Odunze, Jaden Daniels, or Brock Bowers, I have them in that range where they'll probably slide in right around there. Like those guys that I like in that range.
I mean, I think all that makes sense. I'm looking at this, and we have obviously our draft picks, you know, within our ranks at this point. And what I'm seeing and hearing, and even what I'm thinking while you're talking, I think I kind of have my mid-round pick probably a little bit too low, just because when you're talking it out, it makes much more sense for me to kind of have it up near that, you know, near that kind of middle 30, 35. I have it down there in like the 40 something.
So I have actually, I have my mid first because I'm looking at mid to be right around 16, 17. And I have it, I'm trying to think like at the same time, you know, would I rather have Drake London or Roman Dunze? So I probably take, yeah, I probably have it a little bit too low, but and Superflex Premium, Trey McBride or 17.
Yeah, that's I mean, because Trey McBride really balled out at 1-7. You're not going to get what's his name is going to be gone. Bowers is going to be off the board. So if you need a tight end, you might go 1-7 in a tight end.
And that's the thing, though. I think this draft is so talented because imagine like a lot of these mock drafts that have Neighbors, Harrison Jr., Anna Dunze all go in top 10.
Yeah,
all of them do, and almost all of them. Which I don't know how this happens, but maybe it does. Bowers goes in like the 15 range. Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Bowers could,
slips,
eh? Bowers could possibly be there at 1-7.
And if that's the case, possible. And if that's the case, you're taking 1-7 all day.
And you're taking 1-7 all day.
Right.
Over Trey McBride. Right. So, and that's kind of hard, you know, like with these pick values, like the NFL draft is an important part of this process. Like it really is. Like the tape's very important because that gives you the core of the player. That tells you if the player is bad or they're good. Or they have upside, or you don't believe the upside. That's all perspective. But the NFL draft really kind of shapes mold. And when we do our rookie breakdowns, we say, like, the NFL draft's the final piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
You know, it's why Rashee Rice and Jaden Daniels get bumps, players like that. You know, if a player goes in the first round that I thought was total trash on tape, like, kudos. Like, yeah, that's on the NFL team.
Good luck. Somebody else will draft them. Thank God.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's like a tier in itself. Like, it's as wide as pick 18 to about probably pick 43.
Okay.
Right on there for me. And that's going to be an eye of the beholder and how you want to like look at your team.
Let me ask you this, because I haven't done the deep dives yet. Mm-hmm. And I know all these names. I feel very comfortable with all the names we've discussed so far. After this.
Okay. Before we get to that, because I'm with you, because I want to get to that, because it does get a little tougher to project.
Murky.
It does. It gets very murky. The values. I do want to get like slightly more granular because we talked about a range, which I think is fair and we should know roughly what that is. But like if today, if you were offered the 1-4, which, you know, fill in who you think that should be, Neighbors, Daniels, whatever, would you rather have, or actually let's even just take the two receivers, Odunze and Neighbors. Guys that you have already said that you're pretty sure you like, you need to do more tape study on, but you know you feel pretty good about them. Where do they fall in the range of Pukas and DJ Moores and Olaves and Collins and like in that tier-ish of players? Like where do they fall in?
Above.
Okay.
I have Puka Nacua right now as my wide receiver 7.
Okay.
Which is pretty high. But I could tell you now from doing this for so long.
So you have Neighbors and Odunze as wide receiver 1s for sure right off the bat.
I don't right now because I haven't watched the tape. So it's on just
read. But on projection.
But I've been doing this long enough to know from what I've already read and where they're likely to go in the NFL draft, which is probably going to be top 8, that yes, I'll probably have them that high. You know, and which I historically, like guys like Corey Davis has done that for me because I loved his tape. And then he gets drafted like 5th overall. He was a huge, when we talk about busts, that could be a bust. But
sure.
I know historically, like if I have an opportunity to get a receiver that goes top 10 in the NFL draft that I like their tape in and they're 21 years old, like, yeah, it's a huge bump to me because as much as I like Nacua in that situation, I had him lower my tape score. And he's tied to like Matt Stafford in an offense that isn't guaranteed long enough, or this guy's going to be on that team for 5 years. Like these receivers usually that go in top 10, they're guaranteed almost to go be on that team for 5 years, like almost guaranteed. And the hit rates are much higher. Are they much higher? I don't know that for a fact, so I'm not going to say that. But yeah, for me, from what I've read so far and what I've seen, like I know I love Odunze. Like I think Odunze screams like wide receiver 1 upside more than Puka Nacua. I mean, so it's like, do I want Jalen Waddle or I want that fresh restart in Dynasty? Like, I'd rather have that fresh restart there.
I understand everything you're saying. I think that's a little rich for me at the moment.
I get it.
You know, when I look at guys like Michael Pittman, that mm-hmm. I really like.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at DJ Moore, when I look at guys like that, that I'm like, I know what I have in these guys. You know, I've seen enough and they're still young enough that where while I understand the argument to put them top 12 right away, I would probably be more in like the 14 to 17 range. Like right in that same tier of, now I have Puka lower. We've talked about that yeah. when we did our wide receivers and stuff, but right in that, like Nico Collins, T Higgins, Stephon
Diggs type yeah. of range.
I would have,
but you know what though? Like, those guys. So if we're looking at this, how you said, like at a startup, right? Mm-hmm. Startup value. If I take Neighbors or Adunze there, I could almost probably guarantee get T Higgins after that. You know what I mean? Like that's
maybe,
the thing.
Maybe.
And once those top four guys go, like those guys that we love in that range, like I'm chasing that. Like if this is not just like on a whim. It's like, I like the tape a lot and it's backed up by draft capital, right? It's like players that I see like Devon Achane gets mm-hmm. backed up by the draft capital. A guy like Deebo Samuel got backed up by the draft capital. Like when I see that, a player that I personally love, and it gets backed up on tape or NFL draft wise, I'm chasing that ceiling. I'm chasing because not only did I believe in it, but an NFL team believed in it enough to invest in that future. And then also from a dynasty perspective, it's not startup. If you're picking 1-4, 1-5, again, your team's pretty bad, true. Right? Like, so you want, if I have to give up DJ Moore to get Neighbors, my team's already bad. So I want a person that has the opportunity to outproduce sure. DJ Moore while still being young. Because by the time my team turns around in two more years, now all of a sudden I'm sitting with this 28-year-old receiver compared to the 23-year-old receiver.
Sure.
So that's how that's just how
I think that's fair.
And I'm splitting hairs too here, Garrett.
Sure. Like,
if you said I want DJ Moore, I'm not arguing the fact.
Yeah.
If you want Jalen Waddle, I'm not arguing the fact. I'm just telling you from my personal right. dynasty standpoint of how I've done this for 20 years.
Right.
That's how I would attack that. Yep. Like, I'm chasing that top 10 pick and the tape that backs it up. This isn't just because they're a top 10 pick. I'm assuming from what I've read that I'll have those guys ranked pretty high. Mm-hmm.
I won't have them as a QB, or I mean, as a wide, I definitely won't have them as QB1.
QB1.
But as a wide, sure. as what a wide receiver one, off the rip, especially this early in the process, I'm by nature just going to be more conservative and slower to bring these rookies up and into sure. upper echelons than Rich has always been more bold about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I am a little bit slower to react and bring rookies along. So they're going to be in the teens, possibly late teens is where they're going to mm-hmm. arrive in my stuff. So that's
more the Madden style where they got to earn their way up.
That's
what, maybe not quite that low, but
not, yeah. maybe not quite that low, but yeah. that's what feels more natural to me.
Sure.
And until I see, because I can project all I want in my brain that they're going to project, and I'm usually pretty good at it. For wide receivers, for whatever reason, it's no one's 100%, and I still no. don't feel comfortable until I've seen it right. in the NFL. So, you know.
And Puka's fine. Like, if you have Puka slower. Higher, that's fine. Jalen Waddle. So here's this. I have Puka at 7, Jalen Waddle at 8. Let's go sort of by wide receivers. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Jalen Waddle at 8. I have Garrett Wilson at 6, by the way. So Garrett Wilson at 6, Puka Nacua at 7, Jalen Waddle at 8, Devontae Smith at 9, Michael Pittman at 10, Chris Olave at 11, DJ Moore at 12. So again, if it works out the way I look at it, I'd have no problem taking those guys ahead of Devontae Smith, Michael Pittman, Chris Olave. Like, I have mm-hmm. no problem taking ahead of those guys. Because I feel like I'm
where,
split.
Where
I'm
do
split
you have hairs. Puka?
I have Puka as wide receiver 7.
I have him at 17.
I was going to say, I have got him at 16.
That I have him at 8.
I'm actually going to move him down because I would take Jalen Waddle ahead of him now. So I'm going to move him
I wouldn't. Just a little you bit. You got that Puka madness.
Dude, he got the fever.
Like a dog, dude.
He had a crazy rookie season.
Like no, I didn't know. He totally did. And this goes back to my point even more. Like, I'm slower to react. I'm slower to move these guys up. I want to see him do it for a second season. I want, you know what I mean? Before I like am like completely on board.
That's how you miss out on drafting those guys, though. Like, unfortunately, in rookie draft, like there's a part of that like you have to chase
calculated
that
gambles.
Like it's calculated gambles. Like to get those Justin Jeffersons, this is your opportunity to get them. Yeah,
I could get
Puka Nacua fall in your lap in the third round of your rookie draft? Yeah, but that's a complete outlier, complete dumb luck.
I totally
nothing else besides it. If you want to get like All these, look at all the guys at the top.
I'll just get a Malik Nabers this year, and it'll be fine.
CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson.
I'm fine with it.
Ja'Marr Chase, in my rankings here. Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle. These are all guys that we had ranked like 1, 2, 3 overall in our rookie rankings as it was already. So if these guys come in the same tape with the same rankings, these aren't guys that are up here like, oh, they're fly by night or like luck guys. These are guys that we ranked during our rookie scores and our tape breakdowns really high. To get those guys in the startup, this is where you have to take them, unfortunately. Hey, otherwise, you're ending up with wide receiver twos.
Hey, Rich, might be a good time to tell people or at least reference it. We have ADP up on the ranks on our website, and Puka's at 15 right now.
It's wide receiver 15?
It is brand new. We just added it. And it's not sortable at the moment, but we will change that add a lot more functionality to it. But it is on the site.
So we've been waiting to announce
Puka's
this.
Puka's at 15.
Okay, so I'm going to move Puka down a little bit then. To announce this. And basically we've been working on, if you follow at Dynasty Nerds
15
on Twitter,
overall, I'm
Peter
sorry.
Peter Bartowski.
I can't believe Rich didn't announce this before it happened. This is like a first. Something happened before Rich said something.
This is technical issues.
I mean, technically, I think he's mentioned ADP a million times. So, I mean.
But he never officially said, it's here, it's coming.
It'll be in the app soon, too. It's coming to the app. It's on the site.
So it's on the website now, which is today that came out.
Yeah, it's on the rankings page. So it'll be next to. You'll see it.
I've been pushing for this for a very long time. Over a year, I've been pushing for this. But now, if you follow Dynasty Nerds on Twitter or Peter Bartowski, we host mock drafts almost every single day. No shout out to anybody else, but like a lot of ADPD comes from, a lot of people run a couple mock drafts at the very beginning of the month, and then that's it. Our goal was to run mock drafts almost
constantly,
daily.
Just keep them coming.
And our ADP will update all the time. So we won't have an ADP that's just like, from the beginning of the month. Our ADP will be updating constantly. So I'm happy to hear now, because I know it's coming any day now, that it's now on DynastyNerds.com. So we'll have live ADP coming at you, updated often, and it's coming to the app as well. So that's exciting to hear. I didn't know that was today. So, all right, where are we at now? Pick range.
All right, so let's finish up here with this conversation. Matt alluded to it, and I think it's a great point. So we have this point in almost every year, but this year it feels as big as ever, where you get through, one tier or two tiers, depending on how you look at, these group of first seven guys. Sure. And then after that, the opinions on who should go 1-8, what the value of 1-8 is kind of all over the place at the moment. There's like two or three guys that I see pretty regularly as the next one off the board, but still the consensus is not even close to being there after the 1-7. So this is where, if you didn't feel like there was a big teardrop from the top three to the next four, there definitely is here.
Is this where we're going to start seeing running backs, Keon Coleman, like these type of guys coming off the board?
Exactly. Yep. Brian Thomas. The one that I would say I've seen most frequently at 1-8 at the moment is probably Troy Franklin out of Oregon. But you just mentioned Brian Thomas. We'll see, at times the first running back in
Guy from Texas that's injured?
Jonathan Brooks.
He was injured, correct?
We'll see if McCarthy ends up going in the back of the first two.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts that have McCarthy going in the middle of the first.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, he might be at a good value. I've seen Bo Nix go in the first. So there's going to be good quarterback value here.
Supposedly Penix had a good overall Senior Bowl and interviewed Spencer really
Rattler
well.
Had a really good Senior Bowl.
So it's a weird year.
Where's Rattler from?
South Carolina, originally from Oklahoma.
Okay. So, I knew the name from not from where he is.
He was the top quarterback in his high school class.
Okay. So I looked at this. So for somebody who has not, again, my top seven's locked in. Mm-hmm. From 1-8 on, I'm almost like a lot of people listening right now. I don't know who I would take. Because I am somebody, when I break down these rookies, is I wait until the NFL, the college season's way over. I get through all my regular season stuff. And as we get closer to the NFL draft is where I really start to dive in. Because, I hate to double dip because the NFL combine, I want those numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, those mean you know, heights and three cone and stuff like that. That means something to me. So I want to have that information at my fingertips as well. So I actually went through this because I knew we were doing a show. What if I own this pick right now? So like 1-8 on, I went through and looked in my rankings, like what player range would I be looking for if I was even to consider trading this in February right now without knowing a lot of those players, knowing it's going to be a real deep receiver class with a potential of some quarterbacks to fall in that range and maybe a possible running back. So for me, I looked at it as where, and then I'll let you guys say whatever, how you feel about it. For pick 1-8, I had it from the players right around pick 43 to 72. From 1-9, I had about 62 to 70 or 85. 110, 73 to 85. 110 and 112 were all like players like 73, 85 in my ranks, right around that range that I would consider trading that pick for. Otherwise, I'd rather just take the upside of that pick itself.
Right, right.
And then 2-1 on was like pick from 2-1 to 2-6, I had 85 to 105. And then 2-7 was like 105 up. And after that, it's like enter that tier of like, because once you get players like 115, you start to get a lot of duds and you're like, yeah, I'll just take a high second round pick, a mid second round pick. That's the way I looked at it. Cause I don't know what players are going to be there, but I know that pick holds value. And that's where I would value that pick.
I honestly, for me, I don't know that my first round picks, even if it was 112, because I have the value of the 112 pretty darn close to the same value as the 108 at this point.
Yeah.
Now maybe that'll change, but even like first round, like any first round pick, I can't imagine going much past pick like 70 personally. So like right now, guys that I have in that range, like George Pickens, Kyle Pitts, Terry McLaurin, Jaden Reed, James Cook, Amari Cooper, Rashad White. Like those guys, like that's kind of the like the lowest that I would take for a first round pick. Yeah. Like I would almost rather first round pick. So
mine's cut off at 70. So I have my late first at 70, right behind Tank Dell, right ahead of George Kittle and Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
So my late first is really, it's going to be very redundant, but Jaden Reed's right ahead of it. Tank Dell's right ahead of that. Zay Flowers. So those are the kind of guys that are right near the cutoff line there for my late first. So I think we're all in a very similar kind of range. I think mine's 77 instead of 70. So I just have a few guys I probably bumped up above that line that you have below it. But it's all pretty close, right? I mean, that's within a half a round of a startup draft between me and you. So
right. Absolutely.
That feels right. That feels pretty normal. And really it boils down to, you know, you're looking at individual players. Maybe my individual players are just a few lower than, you know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
I would definitely take a first for this, right? I'd definitely take a first for this guy. You know what I mean?
Would you trade it for Bryce Young?
I would. A late first?
I don't think I would.
A late first?
That's just me.
Yeah.
I think I would. I would gamble on a quarterback. I can. That's one overall. No one's going to be there for a little bit.
I would rather just hope one of the quarterbacks slid to me. In this year's draft.
I have my late first ranked way above Bryce Young, but I'm sitting here thinking about it. I think I would take the gamble on Young, so I might have to change that for me.
I just never loved what I saw. I didn't like what he was before he came into the league, and
I know. I'm just
new coaches. New coaches. He could very well turn it around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But I would rather just take a gamble on one of these guys.
Likely to turn it around, but
yeah. I have him. I have Bryce Young at player 66 in Superflex tight end premium, right behind Matt Stafford, right ahead of like James Cook and Tank Dell.
What we have seen though, and Rich, you and I were talking about a little bit earlier, just to kind of finish up here with the Bryce Young part of this, we have seen this happen a few times where a quarterback comes out very highly touted prospect, goes number one overall. Thinking of David Carr, Tim Couch, guys that we thought had all the talent and ability of the world. And season one just goes so bad that they just never really recover from it.
And they don't have the team so bad. What sucks about Bryce Young is not only is the team really bad, they don't have the draft capital to fix around it. They got to use free agency. And that's not a good thing for a young quarterback. So the odds of him getting broken, like you said, like those quarterbacks are much higher.
Damn it. I was looking at my PPR ranks, not Superflex.
Rookie mistake.
That totally makes sense.
I'm like, sense.
Why would I do that?
Sorry.
But so, yeah, I mean, these draft pick values, everything's subjective. You'll see 1,000 different opinions on Twitter. And, you know, I would take a lot of those with a grain of salt. Even these people are like, oh, proclaiming rookies at this time of the year, or saying somebody's mock draft is stupid, or anybody's even mock draft as a grain, as in etched in stone. It does not matter.
It's fun to do them, but you're going to change them again as soon as the draft happens.
You know, our opinions change. There's players that we think we like, and then we watch the tape, and then we end up not liking them. Then there's players that we don't think we'll like. We watch the tape, we end up liking them.
Yep, it happens every year.
Here's the thing. You have time. You don't have to make a trade right now. You could tell somebody who's offering this offer that a deal saying, hey, I got to know within these next couple of days I have another offer. If you're going to put my feet to the fire, take the other offer. Because, again, these picks are not going to decrease in value. They are only going to go up in value. That is, for somebody who's been playing Dynasty for 20 years, I can tell you that with 100% certainty, these picks will get only more valuable. And by the time the day you're draft, even after NFL draft, they increase in value. But when you actually hold your rookie draft is when they're the most valuable 100%. Overall. Yep. And people that say they won't trade for that all of a sudden get... When they're,
all right,
they're
dude. All right. Send it over. I'll do it. Mean,
when people come asking you for that draft pick, they want that draft pick. Yeah. They want it. And I tell people, because I have a league where I have 1-1 and 1-4, and people are consistently asking me for this picks. And I go, listen, I said it in the message. I just want you to know, as we stand today, I am valuing this pick in this tier.
Listen, they're sniffing around that pick because they want a specific player, mm-hmm. or they want two or three players, and they're like, I'd be cool with this guy, this guy, or this guy. When draft day comes, if there's one of those guys left and you're like,
go make the deal,
you're like, come at me at draft
day. And it is funny to do that now, sudden, because you never know how things could flip and change
exactly
between then and now. So yep. It is a,
I feel like so many home leagues I'm in, it's like half the league doesn't even tap in until NFL draft weekend.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden they're excited about whoever it is.
Yeah.
So
a lot changes. A lot's going to change from now to the combine. And from there hasn't been any trades. There'll be tons of trades during NFL draft. Definitely this year. People are going to be trading up into first. People are going to trade for quarterbacks. There's going to be quarterbacks that go into first that are going to trade their super flex value. We mentioned one, J.J. McCarthy. If J.J. McCarthy goes like 15 overall to the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton.
Jack.
Yeah. Yep. Well, guess now who we're talking about. Now all of a sudden we're talking about 1-7. You know, now at 1-8. 1-8 is probably J.J. McCarthy for me locked in if he goes top 15.
Paxton Lynch. If he makes it to 1-8.
And he's got a rushing floor,
if
too.
If he makes it to 1-8. You know what I mean? So, like, players like that, like, everything changes. So it's silly to sit here and anybody. And listen, I know a lot of people want to get into Twitter. They want to talk with conviction and try and tell you one thing or another because they're trying to make a name for themselves or they're trying to represent their brand and they're trying to grow, which I get. You know, this is, you want to find a way to make a name for yourself in this in community, but you don't, that none of that holds any water. It's all meaningful. It's all moot. Cause until you actually draft or the NFL draft happens, none of that matters. Cause none of it's set in stone. Somebody can go to the combine and tear their ACL.
Good.
You know, somebody can go get hurt. We've seen that happen again before.
Somebody just got injured at the senior role and tore up, I think, bicep or something like that. Yeah. Running back from,
They could go to the combine and run a 4.74 and be a running back and nobody will like him anymore. And then 2 years later, they're the running back two in fantasy. You never know.
So when people come with these offers, what I'm saying is just, you know, don't be afraid to wear a deep V-neck. Don't show them everything, but show them just enough to get, you know, keep them sticking around. Keep them Googling.
Get that deep
V. Keep them Googling.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Cleavage. Deep V-necks go a long way.
You're talking about cleavage.
Yeah.
We know.
You got me.
We all know.
You ever see Dalton Kincaid walk around with a deep V?
No. Does he have deep Vs?
I can't even answer that one.
I was waiting for that to happen because it felt like that's where that was going.
That even got me. Pervert.
You know, it's bad if Rich says that.
So it's an interesting time of the year because this is where everybody's searching for those draft picks, right? Because it's you have not much more to talk about in Dynasty besides make trades and study rookies. So hold on to those bad boys unless You get an offer that you can't refuse. It has to be an overpay. Like Garrett said earlier, it has to be an overpay. Like you have to overpay for that because view them as that top tier. So anything how we talked about here, like, oh, they're kind of that top tier, view them there.
Yeah.
And that's why I said in my messages when people come there, like, just to let you know where I'm valuing this pick right now. Until everything's proven otherwise, I'm valuing him as like Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams, in that tier, which I know sounds silly, but
it does not at all.
In February, that's what I'm holding to because I'm not selling myself short in February when it's going to only go up in value. So we'll talk again closer to the draft.
Adios.